I really appreciated the sermonette this morning. It leads pretty well into something that I'd like to share with you as well. Knowing that God is working in our lives is very important to us. It gives us a sense of confidence, a sense of security, and it helps us to benefit from the experiences that we have. We know that we always will have some times in our lives when we struggle. There are times that will be difficult. They may be serious trials, or they may be just the everyday, day-to-day exhaustion of life that we deal with every day. It doesn't take a lot sometimes to make us feel uncomfortable or feel troubled, and for things just not to be totally peaceful in our lives. Sometimes, though, we do feel overwhelmed. Sometimes we have the really major issues that we need to deal with. But it is, again, a comfort to know that God is not leaving us, that God is actually working in those circumstances for us for a very important reason. In his epistles, Paul frequently mentions that we have these kinds of challenges and that they will have in our lives a positive outcome. We're going to look at one of those passages in detail this morning, so that we can understand and see, again, how God's hand is working in our lives and what it will accomplish, what is worthwhile and what is accomplished from the difficulties, the circumstances in our lives. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans, the fourth chapter. I want to begin here in the last few verses of this chapter to lead up to what I really want to cover, which is in chapter 5. But this kind of sets the stage for what Paul wrote about and what we have in chapter 5. We can begin in verse 21 in Romans chapter 4. It's speaking, of course, of Abraham and how he believed and he trusted in God when God made some really extraordinary promises to him. Verse 21, it says, "And being fully convinced," that is, Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. That's a pretty basic definition of faith, that we have trust, that if God says so, then that is. And we recognize that if he makes a promise, he will carry through. Therefore, verse 22, because of Abraham's attitude in this situation, it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was credited to him. God saw his attitude and his heart to be one that was faithful, and he considered that to be righteousness, to be living in a godly way. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. In other words, the fact that God saw Abraham's heart, his attitude, as being righteous or being godly, being in line with his instructions, was not just for Abraham, but it's for us to learn from as well. It shall be imputed to us also who believe in him who raised up Jesus Christ our Lord. God gives you, or gives us credit for or acknowledges the faith that we have and the confidence that we put in him. Imputed to us who believe in him, in God, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our justification. In other words, he died for our sins, and he was resurrected so that we can be justified. This leads to the point that Paul makes in the first few verses of chapter 5. Therefore, so building on that understanding about God imputing righteousness to Abraham for his faith, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we know that we can be forgiven of our sin. We can be justified, which means to be declared righteous by God because of the forgiving of our sins. And it is through Jesus Christ, then, that we receive God's grace, God's favor, his blessings, his mercy. And we then have our hope in God because of that. We have peace. We're settled in our lives because of that understanding. The point that Paul is making is that we can have confidence and have faith in our situations. And we see that as we continue into verse 2. Through whom, that is through Christ, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And then we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice, we're grateful, we're settled, we're confident because of what we understand about God's promise, his grace, and his glory. Then in verse 3, he makes a transition to a conclusion that of how we rejoice in our hope in Christ. Not only that, not only do we have that confidence and that security and that perspective, not only that, because we have that perspective, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Paul lists a sequence of things that we learn beginning with our faith in God and continuing into the circumstances of our lives. There's some key words here in these verses that will stand out and we'll go into in a little more detail as we continue. He talks about tribulations. We glory in our tribulations. Tribulations are sometimes, as I said, really severe issues and trials in our lives, but they also can include just the trouble, the difficulty, the challenge of everyday life. He talks about the perseverance that we need to have. Perseverance means, of course, to have endurance or to have patience. That word is used frequently in the New Testament, and it means to have a continuing and abiding sense of patience and security and willingness to continue. In verse 4, he mentions character, that the tribulation produces perseverance and perseverance character. The word that's translated character is a Greek word that literally means experience. We develop a certain level of strength through the experience that God gives to us. In those experiences, he proves us and establishes us. So character has to do with the kind of person we are based essentially on the way that God is working in our lives, the way that he is proving our authenticity in him through the experiences that he shares with us. And that, of course, leads us to hope. Hope is another key word here in verse 4. Hope means to anticipate with expectation, to look ahead with a positive view and to be expecting a positive outcome. So this is a sequence as we look, as we spend more time in this passage. This is a sequence, and it takes us from a matter of being in difficulty, tribulation, all the way through to the end of the process, ending up at hope. The title of the sermon this morning is "From Anguish to Hope." Paul here describes a sequence that begins with the suffering, it begins with the anguish, and it takes us, in the end of this process, to hope, a positive expectation of God continuing to work in our lives. As we analyze this, we'll see that it's really a four-point sequence to get from the starting point of tribulation or difficulty to finally wind up understanding and having hope. So we'll analyze this process. It begins with the difficulty. First comes trouble or challenge. As it says in verse 2, through whom we have access to him by faith in this grace in which we stand, we have a sense of initial difficulty when we have issues, but we can resolve that in a very positive way. When we begin to have difficulties and troubles and struggles in our lives, it can leave us feeling a bit disoriented, a little bit confused about what is happening. We ask ourselves questions like, why? Why this? Why now? And a key question, what am I supposed to learn from this experience? It's interesting that Paul encourages us to glory in tribulations. In verse 3, we glory in tribulations. To glory, the Greek word translated, means to have a high degree of confidence. Paul is encouraging us to have a sense of confidence even as we have our challenges. The word can also simply be translated to boast, to be filled with enough confidence that we can boast of a positive outcome, even in times of difficulty. The word tribulation means hardship or distress or adversity. And again, we know it comes in many different levels, many different ways in our lives. It seems like an oxymoron at first that with faith, we have a high degree of confidence even as we suffer difficulties. That's a challenge for us, of course, to continue to be positive, to expect a positive outcome even as we are having difficulties in our lives. The general context of this chapter, beginning in verse 4, of course, blends into chapter 5, emphasizing the matter that Paul is talking about, that it's both faith and hope. We have to be able to see beyond the immediate circumstance when we begin to have these difficulties. If we're going to be facing them with confidence, faith means that we look beyond the immediate circumstance and find our confidence in God, not our fear in the circumstance. As we work through certain events in our lives, it may take time to get from the initial sense of being troubled to the point where we are boasting our confidence in our trouble, knowing that we still can continue to receive the help that we need. We know that our Christian life is going to have its challenges. Turn with me back to Acts chapter 14. Acts 14. After initially going through the region of Galatia, Paul, at that time establishing a number of congregations, he later went back to revisit those congregations and to further encourage them and to check in to see how they are doing, or were doing. So in verse 21, it says, Acts chapter 14, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. These were very young congregations that had been started by Paul and Barnabas, and they were new at Christianity. As Jewish Christians, they were facing a certain amount of persecution from their families and from their communities. And Paul wanted to encourage them and to continue in what they had come to understand and committed themselves to. And here's the message he gave to them. He says, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." On the surface, that may not sound like a real encouraging statement, because it's an acknowledgement of their reality. It's an acknowledgement that because you're suffering difficulties doesn't mean you're in the wrong place. Part of our entry into the kingdom of God includes dealing with many different challenges along the way. The early church suffered a great deal of persecution in a very direct way. So Paul is encouraging them to continue to be faithful. We face different kinds of challenges and trials in our lives, but still we need to have the commitment to continue and recognize that, yeah, there are going to be troubles, there are going to be challenges. So the first part of this sequence that leads to hope is simply that we will have our trials. We will have our struggles. And when we do, it's not because God has abandoned us, it's because God is working with us. Verse 22 in the New International Version says, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, saying we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. There are certain things that we learn, that we have to learn, we can only learn as we have these challenges in our lives. Compare this to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Paul is urging us to, in verse 7, to cast our cares onto God, give him responsibility for the things that are concerning to us, because he does care for us. Verse 8, reminded to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. So we look at life very realistically, and we know that we have care, we have concern, we can unload that on God, but at the same time, we need to be careful about the way we live, to be wide awake to the immediate circumstances that we're facing. Resist him, verse 9, resist the devil, resist Satan, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood all in the world. They're in all the world. So this is a common battle among the people that God is calling into his church, into his way. A common thread in our lives is that we have struggles and difficulties. We learn to trust God, to cast our care upon him, and to resist Satan. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The challenges that we have in our lives are allowed by God so that we can learn lessons from them, so that after we experience these, that we will then be established, will be perfected, will be strengthened, will be settled because of and through the various challenges that God will allow us to face. He will allow us to suffer for a while. He will allow us, he might bring us into certain circumstances, he might allow us to suffer from our own mistakes, whatever brings it about, the suffering that we have is something that is meaningful to us in our lives. It is through suffering that we can become mature, that we have experience, that we can become grounded and strong because our faith is being exercised. God's purpose is to prove us, not to defeat us. And so he's allowing things to occur that will prepare us and that will help us along our way to be established ultimately in his kingdom. He wants to share those things with us. 1 Corinthians 10 may come to mind as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're taking a look at a few scriptures to kind of state the obvious, that there are challenges and difficulties in life. But the point we want to make today is that those challenges and difficulties are intended to build us up, and the final and ultimate result is to be hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation he will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The certainty of challenges, of difficulty or tribulation does not mean that being a Christian is an unpleasant or burdensome way to live. We know that we will experience difficulties. That doesn't mean that we are somehow being punished for following God. It's not something that is meant to make our life unpleasant or burdensome. But we have experiences that are common to others. Keep in mind that nobody's life is really easy. Nobody has an easy life. Everyone, both in and not in God's church, has challenges. They have difficulties. They encounter setbacks. They have pain in their lives. Life, due to this, has always includes circumstances that are troublesome. But the point is, when we have a difficult time in our life, we can experience them in a different context. We experience the issues and the challenges of life from a different perspective than others, because we realize there is reason for it and value in it. We realize that the difficulties and the challenges we have are part of the process that God is using to prepare us to be in His kingdom. This matter of being tempted, the word tempt means to put to the test or to examine. So God is putting us to a test. He's examining, He's watching, He's working with us to determine the outcome and how we will respond to the challenges we have. The New Revised Standard Version reads this way: "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone." And again, I'll say it's not just that it's not common to others in the church, but it's not common to people in general. It is, life has its challenges, but we have a connection and a relationship with God, as we talked about earlier this morning. But we know that God is faithful, and there's a promise or a statement in this verse that He will not cause us to be tested beyond our strength. He will not test us beyond our strength, but He will provide us a way to endure those circumstances. So the life of a Christian will include what Paul terms as tribulation, struggles, trials, and challenges. So the first step, or let's say the next step, once we have these issues or these challenges in our lives, the next step toward hope is to learn the lesson of perseverance. Learn the lesson of perseverance. Again, we'll keep track of where we are in these verses. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, we find our confidence in God's promises. And not only that, but we glory in tribulation. We recognize and we boast in, and we see that we have the strength to endure challenges, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance is the next step toward hope. You know, we have to persevere. We have no choice. When we're in a circumstance that's challenging, that's where we are. And there's no shortcut, and there's no way to avoid having challenges in our lives. There's no quitting if we're in a trial. We can't just throw up our hands and turn around and walk away from it. That's not the way it works. We must learn to be patient, to have perseverance. Perseverance is a form of mental toughness. It's a matter of controlling our fears, our emotions, the things that we maybe want, that we struggle with to try to find some relief. We have that mental toughness to face and continue dealing with the questions or the issues we have. It's not a matter of whether we get through it, it's a matter of how we handle the circumstance. Paul says we glory in tribulations. That's very similar to the way James put it in chapter 1. James chapter 1. A familiar passage, in some ways a difficult scripture, but really a pretty simple statement. James chapter 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Or glory in tribulations is the way that Paul expressed it. Peter addresses the same approach in the first chapter of his first epistle. But James says that we're to count it all joy. Joy is translated from a Greek word that means calm delight. It means calm delight. In other words, it's a sense of peace of mind and being at calm and peace at peace in your mind, in your way you approach the situation. Joy is a sense of stability, being at peace, or being free from anxiety. It's not just an emotion that depends on circumstances. It's a matter of character. It's a development of God's Holy Spirit. Love, joy, and so on, one of the fruit or the result of God's Spirit working in us. So joy is produced by the work of God's Spirit. And it has to do with having the strength to remain calm and confident, or as Paul put it, to boast in difficulties. If we're dealing with something that's really serious, then of course it's very much more challenging. Time seems to stop. Time seems to stop when we really are faced with something that's extremely difficult for us. And it's difficult for us to continue. But that's why we need the strength of perseverance, of patience. We need to be willing to continue in and be willing to endure what we're experiencing. Verse 4 in James 1. Verse 3, the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The New International Version says in verse 4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. This shows, again, the process that we're reviewing in Romans chapter 5 of where difficulties and trials take us. Perseverance or patience must finish its work. We must continue in patience so that you may be mature and complete, as James expresses it. So the perseverance that Paul mentions, and as James illustrates here, perseverance is a matter of maturity. It's a matter of dealing with something in a mature, in a positive way. It requires patience. It requires us to be growing in maturity to continue to have that proper approach toward what we are experiencing, so that the step that we get to when we're suffering difficulties and trials is to learn the lesson of perseverance. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 7, it tells us we need to endure, need to be patient, we need to be willing to work through circumstances in which where God is dealing with us or working in our lives, to endure His hand in our lives, to learn from it, to have patience. We'll drop down to verse 11, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No chastening seems to be joyful. Now, not every difficult experience we have means that God is punishing us. But it can also be used to mean to work in our lives and to develop us. We are being developed by God's hand in our lives. And it may not be easy. It can be painful at times. But again, from the perspective that we view it, it yields eventually the fruit of righteousness. It's a positive result when we have the perseverance and the patience to let God work in our lives and to recognize His work in our lives. Difficulties and struggles should produce patience. Sometimes when we're in a difficult situation, we feel very impatient. We feel very frustrated. But the purpose of the trial is to help us to learn the lesson of being patient, of recognizing and trusting that God is continuing to work in our lives, that He will not push us beyond what we can deal with, and that we can learn the matter of issue of patience as God is working with us and for us. Turn to Hebrews then, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Paul, or the author, presumably Paul, is offering some positive admonishment here regarding the difficulties we face. He says, think back. When we have difficulties and trials and challenges, recall the former days. Think back to other times when God has worked in our lives. He is specifically reminding them of the time when they were called, when they first began to respond to God's way, and it brought a lot of difficulty into their lives, struggle and sufferings, partly because of what people thought of you. Many of us have experienced that same kind of, had that same kind of experience, where people were very unsupportive or not really pleased with the decisions that you had come to, the way of life that you had become part of. But drop down to verse 35. Remember the things you've been through already in order to help you grow in patience now. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You have need of perseverance. Perseverance or endurance or patience. The Greek word can be translated in any of those other English words, either endurance or patience. We need to have that strength within us so that after it's done, after you've completed that process, after you've done the will of God, you'll receive the promise. So Paul's statement in Romans chapter 5 fits with what we learn about trials and difficulties both from James and from Paul in the book of Hebrews. We have experience in our life, and the experience produces, back to Romans 5, this experience produces then character. Romans chapter 5 again. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience, and perseverance then produces character. This brings us to another step as we work through our difficulties, our trials. We learn patience from them, and then that experience that of patience then produces in us character. The New Revised Standard Version, I'm sorry, get my notes in proper order here. Perseverance produces character. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. This verse, again, is very similar to what we saw in Romans chapter 5, the first couple of verses. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 talks about God proving our authenticity by the trials that we experience. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away." So we have that promise, and we lock into that promise as God works in our lives. Verse 6, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you suffer various trials. These trials produce in us a matter of a mental strength or character. Character, it says in Romans 5, perseverance produces that character. And then the character that we develop produces hope. So we come through this sequence or this series where tribulation teaches us perseverance teaches us the character and the strength that we need to endure, and then that character and strength produces in our lives hope. The end result of those of that process is hope. The New Revised Standard Version in verse 4 says that hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit that he has given us. Character or experience produces hope. Sometimes we use the word hope pretty loosely. Sometimes we hope for things that really aren't important. I hope it doesn't snow this afternoon. I hope we have pizza and wings for dinner. Sometimes we hope for things that are impossible. I hope the Browns can win the Super Bowl someday. Hope is used in a very general sense, in a very superficial sense. But this hope that we're talking about is much more real than that. As we travel the path of life, as we follow this sequence from tribulation to perseverance to character to hope, we follow that sequence, we end up in or with the end result of hope. Hope is a positive expectation that God will fulfill his promises, something that we can base our lives upon. Is different from faith. Faith is the trust that we have in God that he will fulfill our promises. Hope is the expectation of the fulfillment of those promises. And our hope goes far beyond just the experiences of this life, even as we are learning from them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, the chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, was written to refute some false doctrines or false teachings about the resurrection, and specifically beginning with whether or not Jesus Christ was resurrected. So Paul goes into some detail to prove the point that Jesus himself was resurrected, and that gives us the hope that we have in our lives. Verse 19, we'll just read a concluding statement that Paul makes as he is going through this doctrinal explanation about the resurrection. He said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." Our hope goes beyond the experiences we have in this life to the promises that we have of God's kingdom. Hope is the basis of our continuing forward. Continuing forward in a time that is challenging for us. Hope is something that we develop as we go through this process we've been talking about, but hope is also something that is going to be challenged all the way, all along through our lives. Our hope will always be challenged. And that hope extends beyond just the immediate circumstances, far beyond that. Consider Titus chapter 1. Titus, the first chapter. Verse 2. Well, we can begin at the first verse. Paul introduces himself, a bondservant of God, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords or leads to godliness. Paul writes that we live in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. We live in hope of eternal life. Eternal life is what we anticipate fully, and as we travel through the different challenges of life, through the tribulations, through the perseverance, gaining the godly character, then our hope continues to be an expression of what God will provide. We live in hope of eternal life. We know that God cannot lie. People get hopeful about a lot of things, as I mentioned. Folks get really excited when the Megabucks lottery jackpot starts creeping up toward $1 billion. And they will gladly contribute some of their cash for a ticket, hoping that they would win. The odds of winning the Megabucks lottery are 1 in 50 million. So I guess you could say there is a chance. 1 in 50 million of winning a Megabucks lottery. The chances of God fulfilling his promise of eternal life are 1 out of 1. God's promise is absolute. Our hope is in something that will happen. It's not in something that could happen, that we wish might happen. Our hope is in what will happen. His promise is certain. We have to be willing to live carefully and to live within God's law and learn what he wants to teach us so that we can be in that, share in that eternal life. But the promise is absolute. The promise is certain. Everybody has a winning ticket. Consider back in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. At the beginning of this chapter, it refers to how Moses was faithful to the calling that God gave to him, and that Jesus Christ himself is also faithful to the Father in the way that the plan is being conducted and worked out. I want to drop down toward the end of this thought in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken of afterward. We learned a great deal from Moses, from his faithfulness to God, from his service to the people, and he was faithful continually throughout his life. He was faithful in all his house as a servant. Verse 6, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Moses was a faithful servant of God. Christ is a faithful servant as well. Christ has welcomed us into his house, into his domain, and we will receive the promises from him. We will continue to be his people, his house, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing in the hope if we continue firm to the end. So again, hope is going to be challenged all along the way. Hope is not a simple thing that we just have it it's something we have to maintain, something we can't let slip away. We do tend to be affected by immediate circumstances. The immediate circumstances will sometimes deny us a sense or a feeling of hope. But our strength of endurance is built, again, from the tribulations to the endurance, to the character, and it ends up with a hope that we will be able to maintain as God is continuing to work in our lives. Christ is faithful to us, and we must hold on and be faithful to him continually to the end as well. Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 emphasizes the absolute, that God's promise to Abraham and to us through him is absolute and cannot fail. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 begins again to talk about the promises that God made to Abraham and that how those promises were fulfilled. Verse 17, God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promises that promised Abraham the immutability of his counsel confirmed by an oath. God's promise to us through Abraham is absolute and it cannot be changed. It's confirmed by the very word of God himself. So that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. We have a strong sense of confidence because of the certainty of God's promise. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. We come to God as he has called us, and we gather, we collect, we embrace that hope that he has set before us. And this, verse 19, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. In other words, the promises that we have, the hope that we have, that we come to through the trials and circumstances of life, is what holds us in place. The hope that we have enables us to maintain ourselves, our place, even when the waters are stormy, the difficulties are surrounding us. We know that we will have the strength to endure, and we will. That promise that God has made to us is absolute and certain without any doubt whatsoever. That's the strength of hope that we arrive at as we come through tribulations, learning patience, developing the character of God, and ultimately then concluding by having the hope that of these promises that are before us. Let's go back to Romans 5 as we start to conclude for this for today. Romans chapter 5. Paul reaches a conclusion here as he after he provides us with this path from trial to or from anguish to hope. Verse 5 says, hope does not disappoint. When we have the hope that Paul is speaking of, it is a genuine hope built on absolute promises from God. We come to accept that hope through the process as we deal with difficulties and struggles in our lives. This hope cannot disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Hope will never fail because it is backed up by the love and the power of God. And as long as our hope is in God, it cannot fail because God will not fail. As we consider this conclusion, we're reminded that hope is something that we develop, and I want to emphasize this. Hope is something that we have even as we suffer. Hope is not just something that we arrive at when everything's over. I think we all have a sense, we've all had experiences where there's a sense of relief. We're facing a trial, a difficulty, very hard for us. We come to the end of it, it's resolved, that trial is over, and we feel such a sense of relief. Certainly we would have hope at that point. But hope is something we develop and we rely on, and the strength that we have even during the difficulties and the trials. Hope is not just when everything is okay, everything is fine, now we see how it's all going to come up, going to be resolved. Hope is something that we develop and need and use even during the trial. Romans chapter 8. This is talking about hope on a different level, but I think the principle is the same. It's talking about the hope we have in becoming the adopted sons of God. Let's pick it up in the middle of this this passage in verse 24. Again, it's talking about the Holy Spirit working in us to give us a sense of security and promise as we look forward to the hope we have in God's kingdom. Verse 24, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We hope at times, and we have strength in that hope, even during the time of a difficulty or a trial, even while it is still a challenge for us in our lives, hope is always there. It's not just something we experience when things seem to be resolved or things seem to be going well. If we can see the outcome of something, then that's not hope. Hope is anticipating the positive outcome that is still to come. So, in this passage in Romans 5, Paul reminds us that, yes, we have trouble, we have stress, even anguish at times in our lives. We see God working in our life. Those experiences make us what we are. They produce the character of mind that we have. And as we travel this path that Paul lays out for us, from anguish to perseverance, to character, to hope, as we travel this path, our certain expectation is that God will and that God is fulfilling his promises.